Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Tafsir al-Quran, where we go through the meaning and the study of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we're going to be continuing from where we left off, which is Surah number 2, Surah al-Baqarah, verses number 97 and 98. Inshallah, as we always do here in these sessions, I will begin with the recitation of the verses that we'll be studying today. Inshallah, after that, I will share what a translator has written on the meaning of these verses. And then, inshallah, we'll go into further discussion and elaboration on the meaning, the lessons, the wisdom that we can derive from this verse of the Quran, these verses of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قُلْ مَا كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَا كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ.
A translator writes for these two verses that we have just recited, say, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if anyone is an enemy of Gabriel, who by God's leave brought down the Quran to your heart, confirming previous scriptures as a guide and good news for the faithful. If anyone is an enemy of God, his angels, and his messengers, of Gabriel and Michael, then God is certainly the enemy of such disbelievers. So those are the two verses that inshallah we're going to be discussing and covering and talking about today. Before we get started, as you could probably already tell from even the Arabic of the verses that I recited, that the verses make reference to Jibreel alayhi salam, the Archangel Gabriel. And it also mentions Mikael or Mikael alayhi salam, the Archangel Michael. So, and you heard that in the translation as well, the reference to Gabriel and Michael, and that might pique your curiosity exactly why is that being mentioned? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about this? So there is a backstory to this, and there is some background to this that is very important to know and to understand. And I thought we could take a little bit of time here in the beginning to first fully understand and be able to lay out exactly the background here, and then we can go through the actual verses and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us subsequently. First and foremost, both of these ayat, these two verses, they make reference, ayah number 97, it mentions Jibreel. And then verse number 98 mentions both Jibril and Mikael. So first and foremost, let's exactly understand who we're talking about, because these are names that are familiar to us. And while many might know exactly what we're talking about, I thought that it'd be good to take the opportunity to just expound on that and fully understand exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here. First and foremost, we have Gabriel. And that the name in the Arabic language, as we read in the verse, is Jibril. But there are three ways that the Arabs would pronounce the name of Jibril, the Archangel Gabriel, alayhi salam. There are three ways that it is pronounced in the Arabic language, depending on the tribal dialect. According to the people, the Arabs of Hijaz, they would say Jibril, Jibril, and that's how I read it in the verse. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلِ. Another pronunciation of it, according to some of the Arab tribes, was Jibril. They would say Jibril, and that is the recitation, the qira'ah of Ibn Kathir. Another pronunciation, which might be a little bit more familiar to many people, because that is the pronunciation that's used a lot of times in Farsi, in Persian, in Urdu, and other languages that are somewhat associated with the Arabic language or have borrowed a lot from the Arabic language, is Jibra'il, Jibra'il, where there's a little bit of difference. Instead of Jibril, you have Jibra'il. And that was the dialect of the tribes of Banu Tamim, Banu Qais, and many of the people of more northern Arabian Peninsula, the people of Najd. And that is, again, the recitation of the of Hamza and Al-Kisa'i. When it comes to the name Mikael, or as this verse we read it, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِكَالَ مِكَالَ. So you hear a little bit of a different pronunciation. Mikael was the pronunciation according to the tribes of Hijaz. So the Quraysh and others, they would pronounce the name Mikael. The other pronunciation of it is Mikael, Mikael, Mikael. And that is the recitation of Nafi'a. And then, of course, you have the pronunciation that we're a little more familiar with, that when someone has this name, that's often how their name is pronounced. And also, once again, Farsi and Urdu languages borrowed from the Arabic language, and they pronounce it as Mikael, Mikael. And that's also the recitation of Hamza and Al-Kisa'i and Ibn Amir. So that's the very first thing. What are these names, and how exactly are they pronounced? So again, we said it's Jibril or Jibra'il, Mikael or Mikael. And so those are the primary pronunciations of the name. Who are we talking about? So these are the names of two of, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ الْمَسِيحُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ وَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. The angels who are of very, very high rank, in high prestige, in high esteem, and they are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the archangels, as often is referred to in Christian terminology. They refer to them as archangels. So they are the highest ranking of the angels. They are amongst the leadership of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jibril and Mikael, they are amongst the archangels. They are amongst the highest ranking of the angels, the Malaikatul Muqarrabun, those who are the closest of God and those who possess the greatest esteem and prestige amongst all the angels, the Malaika. That's who they are. More specifically, what are some of the details that we know about them, and what have we been told are their responsibilities, if you will? What roles do they play? What tasks have they been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So from the Quran itself, we know from numerous verses in the Quran, like in Surah Al-Shu'ara, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ. That the primary responsibility of the angel Jibreel alayhi salam is that he is the one who brings revelation from God, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the prophets and the messengers of Allah. and the Prophet of Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in numerous authentic narrations in Bukhari and Muslim and many other places, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reiterates this fact, and he explicitly mentions that it is the angel Jibreel alayhi salam who brings the revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, but we also see that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam comes to interact with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam in very key strategic interactions. We have a very famous hadith, which is known as Umm Sunnah. It is known as one of the most foundational traditions and statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One of the most critical moments from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it's known as Hadith Jibreel, in which a person in the form of a human being, a person comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, interacts with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asks him a number of questions: mal iman, mal islam, mal iman, mal ihsan. That what is Islam, what is iman, and what is excellence and beauty in the religion and in the deen? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answers his questions. And at the end of that interaction, the Prophet ﷺ informs the companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who are witnessing this question and answer, this interaction, and he tells them, "Hada Jibril, yu'atakum yu'allimukum dinakum." This was the angel Jibril alayhi salam, Gabriel, who came to you to teach you your religion through this question answer format. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also tells us in authentic narration that Jibreel alayhi salam would come and spend time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and comfort and console the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that in the last Ramadan of his life, in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, the angel Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every single night in Ramadan and reviewed the whatever had been revealed from the Quran, which was the vast, overwhelming majority of the Quran. Reviewed it with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not once but twice all the way over in that last Ramadan of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also learn in an authentic narration, in a number of authentic narrations, including them is a narration found in Musnad Ahmad, in the Sunan of Imam Nasa'i, and the Hadith of Imam Bukhari, and many others, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentions that Jibreel alayhi salam was the one who was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it would come time for the destruction of certain nations to whom prophets had been sent, revelation had been sent, guidance and instruction from Allah had been sent to them, but they disregarded the message. They ignored the message that was given to them. They opposed the prophets and they mocked and ridiculed and even attacked the prophets of God. And then finally, they demanded that the punishment of Allah be sent to them if this message is true. In spite of the warning of the messengers and the prophets to not do that, but when they finally pushed it to that point and where the wrath and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally came upon them, it was Jibreel alayhi salam who was often sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out and to deliver the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are among some of the other things that are mentioned, the primary roles that have been mentioned to us for the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. The angel Mika'il alayhi salam, in authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, once again found in Bukhari and in other books of hadith, tells us that the angel Mika'il alayhi salam, his primary responsibility was to deliver the rain, and oftentimes to deliver the sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that had been sent down to people and to humanity. And so that is the primary responsibility in authentic narrations that we've been told for the angel Mika'il alayhi salam. Furthermore, there's a very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that I have two friends who are in the heavens and I have two friends on the earth. Two individuals I look to and I enjoy their company, and they are from the heavens, and then two of them who are on the earth. And the ones that are in the heavens, the Prophet ﷺ said, it is Jibreel and Mika'il alayhim as-salam, the angels, archangels Gabriel and Michael alayhim as-salam. And then the two on the earth whose company I enjoy and who are my companions on the earth are Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, and Umar bin al-Khattab, Umar al-Faruq, radiallahu anhu. So this is a little bit of detail about Jibreel and Mikael, since their mention is here and they are being brought up here in these verses. The last thing that I'll mention, and then we'll move to the background of the verses. Why were these verses revealed? Why was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing who Jibreel and who Mikael is within the Quran? So the last thing I'll mention here about them specifically is that there's some discussion that the scholars also have. Imam al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, has a very lengthy discussion. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, also has a discussion in his book of Tafsir. And many of the Mufassirun have discussed what their names mean. So their names seem to be borrowed and brought into the Arabic language from previous scripture and previous languages. And the reference is that the eel that can be heard in both of their names, Jibra'il, Mikael, or even Jibril, the il, Mikael, or Mikael, that last part of it that you hear there with the lam sound, that in one of the ancient languages, that was one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the name of God. And Jibr, basically they say, means abd. So therefore, Jibril means Abdullah, the slave, the servant of God. And Mikael or Mika, that first part of the name, that means Ubaid. Ubaid. So the name Mikael means Ubaidullah, this humble servant of God. So Jibril or Jibrail means the servant of God. Mikael or Mikael means the humble servant of God. Abdullah and Ubaidullah, very similar to those names in the Arabic language. So that is a little bit of detail about them. Now let's talk very quickly about the background of these verses. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing this? So when it comes to that, there are a number of different narrations which tell us about the background of these verses. One of them that has been mentioned by Imam at-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Jami'a, in his Sunan, it's also been mentioned by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Imam Nasa'i in his Musnad, and it's also been mentioned in the books of Sababun Nuzul, the circumstances of revelation. There's a specific genre of literature, there are specific texts that have been written that specifically mention the narrations that give the background or the backstory to the revelation of certain verses in the Quran. Two of the very popular, very well-known references that have been written on this subject are both called Asbab al-Nuzul. One is written by Imam al-Suyuti, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the other is written by Imam al-Wahidi, rahimahullah ta'ala. So this narration that I'm going to share with you now is mentioned in all the previous references that I mentioned. It mentions that when the Prophet ﷺ made the hijrah, migrated to al-Madinatul Munawwara from Makkah Mukarramah, that the Jewish tribes, the Jewish community that lived in and around the city of Medina, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innahu laysa nabiyyun min al-anbiya'i illa ya'tihi malakun min al-mala'ikati min 'indi rabbihi bir-risalati wa bil-wahyi, that every single prophet that was sent, there was always an angel from amongst the angels who would come to that prophet and that messenger sent by Allah and would bring to that prophet the revelation and the instruction from God. They would bring the scripture from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ صَاحِبُكَ حَتَّى نُتَابِعَكَ. So who is the angel that comes to you? Who is the angel that comes to you so that we may understand that and make the decision to follow you? The Prophet ﷺ responded by saying, it is Jibreel. It is the Archangel Gabriel. They responded by saying, ذَاكَ الَّذِي يَنْزِلُ بِالْحَرْبِ وَالْقِتَالِ ذَاكَ عَدُوُنَا. They said that is the angel who comes down into the battlefield and who brings the punishment and the wrath of Allah. And so, therefore, he is our enemy. He is the one who comes down in the battlefield. He is the one who brings the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is our enemy. And then they went on to say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لو قلت, had you said, Mikael, that is the Archangel Michael that comes to you. الَّذِي يَنزِلُ بِالْقَطَرِ وَبِالْرَحْمَةِ. He is the one who is sent with the rain and with the sustenance and the mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then تَابَعْنَاكَ. Then we would have followed you. We would have accepted you. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ الْآيَةَ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ لِلْكَافِرِينَ فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ الْآيَةَ إِلَى قَوْلِهِ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down these verses responding to the very inappropriate, the very offensive, and the very disrespectful thing that they had said. First of all, they rejected believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they rejected it based off of which angel comes to him, as if, you know, they have any say in that matter, or they have the right to express their opinion on that issue. And then furthermore, they also, you know, said something so inappropriate where he brings the anger of Allah, so therefore we don't recognize that. So this is the background to this particular, to these verses. Furthermore, Imam al-Tabari, rahmallahu ta'ala, in his tafsir, he also says that the scholars of the Quran and the scholars have an ijma', they have a consensus, that these particular verses were revealed in response to what the Jewish communities were saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where they basically were saying that Jibril, we don't like him, he's our enemy, and Mikael, we like him, he is our friend. And because of that, they were then opposing the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if that made any sense. Furthermore, there's other narrations as well which mention a very similar kind of dialogue and discussion and conversation with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Jewish communities were basically coming to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and then questioning him about how he receives revelation and how he receives divine guidance and instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as soon as, no sooner than they would find out or they would hear the name of Jibril alaihi salam, then they would object to that. And then they would have these, you know, different, you know, responses to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is the background of these particular verses. Now that we understand that, let's actually read through the verses, and then we'll talk about, and then we'll explore the meaning and some of the lessons and some of the wisdom that we can derive from these two verses of the Quran. So in ayah number 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and again, that's very important to understand the background, because why is Allah telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ, say, proclaim? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that because they had said this very disrespectful, disbelieving statement, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equipping the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the response to that. And right off the bat, just within the word qul. And see, this is the power of the Quran. This is what makes the Quran so remarkable, that there's so much guidance and so much wisdom within the Quran. And there's so much that we can take from the Quran, that even in every single word of the Quran, there's so much depth and wisdom and guidance for us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being approached by a community where he has now settled, where he is establishing and building a Muslim community. There's another community there. They're coming to dialogue with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a question. He answers the question in a very honest, forthcoming fashion. And then they object to it and they say all these kinds of, you know, really bizarre things. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instead of giving a knee-jerk response, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instead of having an emotional response and emotionally lashing out and in the moment, in the heat of the moment, verbally lashing out at them, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains calm and composed. He remains calm and composed. And from that we see the emotional intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the character and the dignity and the demeanor and the integrity of the Prophet of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, where he remains calm and composed first and foremost. Secondly, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam waits for the guidance and the instruction from Allah. And then he responds to them in accordance with what Allah tells him. Now, granted, we are not going to receive divine revelation, but we have divine revelation. We have the Quran, we have the Sunnah, the life, the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. We have the sources and the texts of Islam. And so it's very important to not feel this impulse or this urge to just immediately respond and lash out, even if I'm not really sure how I should navigate the situation, but to remain calm, to remain composed, and then to go to the Quran, to go to the Sunnah, to go to the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, go and see what the response should be. Educate yourself, develop a proper response, and then respond accordingly. So even within that qul, there's so much wisdom to be had there. There's so much that we can learn from that about how we even handle, you know, dialogue and how we oftentimes handle different kinds of situations where someone might say something and we have an emotional response to that. We feel a certain way about what they've said, and we haven't really had a chance to gather our thoughts and to develop a proper response, that the appropriate thing to do at that situation is not to lash out, but it is to gather oneself, remain calm and collected, and then go and see what the proper response should be, to develop a response and then respond accordingly. And I'd be remiss if I did not mention that in our times, in our culture, if you will, in the society that we live in, that particularly becomes more complicated because of our methods and our means of communication. We are responding through text messages, you know, and where there's this need to just respond immediately. But that's not the best idea. Or even social media a lot of times where we respond with like quick comments. And that's not the best way to respond. So that's the very first thing that we learn. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man kana aduwan li Jibril," that whosoever they themselves said that they are an enemy of Gabriel, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala absolves Jibril alayhi salam. Jibril alayhi salam is not the enemy of the people. فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ. He is the one. And then there are two ways to translate this verse. One translation, as we read, is that who by God's leave brought the Quran down to your heart. The other way to translate it is that Allah sends Jibril to bring the Quran to your heart. Okay. Nonetheless, regardless of that fact, the pronouns, how you allocate the pronouns, does the first pronoun refer to God, to Allah, and the second pronoun refers to Jibril, God sends Jibril upon your heart with the message of the Quran, or is the first pronoun referring to Jibril and the second pronoun is referring to the Quran, that Jibril brings the Quran down to your heart? Regardless of that, the point is the same, that Gabriel, Jibril alayhi salam, is the one who is delivering revelation and delivering the Quran to you. So there's one little nuance here that is very fascinating, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he brings the Quran to your heart. Even though Jibril alayhi salam is bringing the message to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, well, why does it specifically identify, why does it specifically mention the heart? Why does it do that? So the scholars of Mufassirun, Imam al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a very beautiful discussion on this, where he says that, first and foremost, because the heart itself is the place of the understanding, knowledge, depth of the religion, it is the place where faith and iman resides. And so that's the reason why it's specifically خَصَّ الْقَلْبَ بِالذِّكْرِ لِأَنَّهُ مَوْضِعُ الْعَقْلِ وَالْعِلْمِ وَتَلَقِّي الْمَعَارِفِ. That the heart is specifically mentioned and identified because it is the place of the intellect and the understanding, the deeper understanding of the religion. It is the place where knowledge is. That's why we oftentimes say in the tradition of sacred and Islamic knowledge, الْعِلْمُ فِي الصُّدُورِ لَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, that knowledge is within the chest. It is not on lines on the paper. It is not in the lines on the paper, rather it's in the chest. All right? And it transfers from heart to heart. So the heart is the place of knowledge and understanding of the religion. And it is the place where we develop our faith and our understanding of Allah and the enlightenment and the nur that we acquire through our faith. And that's why the heart is specifically mentioned. The second reason why the heart is mentioned, the scholars and of tafsir, the mufassirun, they mention, is that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions elsewhere, another place in the Quran, in Suratul Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Do not rapidly move your tongue so that you can, you know, retain the Quran. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمَعَهُ وَقُرْآنَهُ. We will make sure that it gets collected within your heart. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ. When we are done giving it to you, then you read it and recite it. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَا. And then we will also give you the understanding of it. Another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet in Surah Taha, Surah number 20, ayah number 114, Allah says, وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يُقَضَى إِلَيْكَ وَحْيُّ. Do not rush to try to repeat the words of the Quran before it is being done being delivered to you. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. Rather say, O Allah, increase me in my knowledge and through my knowledge. And so, we also see elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another place in the Quran, He also says in Surah Al-Shu'ara, نَزَلَ بِهِ رُوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ, that He brings the Quran down to your heart. So the heart is the place of the preservation, the understanding, and the, you know, where you feel the primary benefits of the Quran, which is in the faith and the iman, and that's why the heart is specifically being mentioned, identified. There's one very fascinating, you know, issue that is brought up by one of the more recent and contemporary mufassirin of the Quran of the previous generation, the great scholar of the subcontinent, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Tanwi, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his tafsir of the Quran called Bayanul Quran, the explanation of the Quran, he mentions there under this particular verse that this, you know, that if somebody mistakenly understands from this verse by saying that the Quran was sent down to your heart, that if somebody, it would be an error for somebody to draw from this phrase within this verse the conclusion that Allah has not revealed the words of the Quran, but only the meanings of the Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired certain meanings to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he expressed them in his own words. If somebody draws that conclusion, then they have committed a very serious error. And they are making a very, very critical mistake. Why? Because the Quran itself elsewhere mentions that inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyan bilisanin Arabiyin mubin, that Allah has sent down the Quran in the Arabic language, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the Quran in the Arabic, clear Arabic tongue. So because of that, it is completely inaccurate, completely wrong and falsehood. It is false to understand that the Quran was only revealed in meanings and that the wording of the Quran was not explicitly, verbatim, literally revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I thought that I would mention that because that's a very fascinating point that he draws from there. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse, he says, bi-idhnillah, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it means by the permission of Allah, but again, that refers to the command of Allah, that he comes down by the command of Allah. And that is something that is reiterated, that is something that is emphasized in other verses of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah number 19, Surah Maryam, in verse number 64, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. That the angels, Allah says in the Quran, that the angels testify that we do not come down except and until, unless and until. We only and only come down when our Lord commands us, when your Lord commands us to come down. لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. He owns everything. He owns everything in front of us, behind us, in our future, in our past, and everything in between. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَا. Your Lord is not forgetful. Your Lord is not neglectful. And so this is mentioned other places within the Quran as well, bi-idhnillah, that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam would only and could only come down by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the explicit command of Allah. It then says, مُصَدِّقَ لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْ, that the Quran aligns with the scripture that came previously. Now, this is something we've talked about repeatedly in the previous sessions that we've had here on the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah in our previous lessons. We've talked about this a number of times, that this argument is presented time and time again in the Quran. That, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّنَ مِنْ بَعْدِ, right? وَمَا وَصَّيْنَا بِهِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى أَنْ أَقِيمُوا الدِّينَ وَلَا تَتَفَرَّقُوا فِيهِ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ. Repeatedly throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fact that the message of the Quran corroborates, confirms, and builds upon the message that was sent to previous prophets during the time of previous nations. So, how is that a response? That's saying that you are choosing to refuse the message of the Quran, and you're choosing to disbelieve in the message of the Quran. Why? Because you say that we believe in our scripture. We believe in our religion. We believe in this scripture, the scripture that came before. We believe in the prophets that came before. And that's on the basis of that, you're saying that, oh, we can't accept it because Jibreel brought it and we don't believe in this message. Well, it confirms what you have with you. So by disbelieving in the Quran, you actually are disbelieving in even your own scripture, your own tradition. So this rationale, this logical response is presented time and time again within the Quran. And then furthermore, Allah says, وَهُدًا وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that this Quran also contains guidance from Allah, where it gives you instruction. It tells you what to do. And then it includes good news, a congratulations, glad tidings for those who believe. Because the Quran is giving you instruction. It's giving instruction to all of humanity. Then there are some people who take that instruction. There are some people who do not. There are some people who obey that guidance, and there are some people who reject it. Those who obey it, those who listen to it, those who embrace it, for them, this is great news. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ, that whosoever declares themselves to be the enemy of God, the enemy of the angels of God, the enemy of the messengers of God. Now allow me to explain this, right? The word adu literally comes from adawa, and it means to be an enemy. All right? So it talks about whosoever claims to be the enemy of God. So first and foremost, Imam al-Razi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his tafsir, he brings up a very fascinating point. That if we look at the literal meaning of being an enemy, then it means that someone who has the ability to harm the other person, somebody who is opposing the other person, the other side, and has the ability to harm the other side. كَيْفَ يَجُوزُ أَن يَكُونُوا أَعْدَاءَ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْعَدَاوَةِ الْإِضْرَارُ بِالْعَدُوِ, that to truly be an enemy, you have to oppose and you have to harm and you have to attack your enemy. That's what you call the opposition. But they don't have the ability to harm Allah, to truly oppose Allah. So how can they be called the enemies of God, the enemies of Allah? So the response that he gives here, the explanation that he gives here is that this is referring to it figuratively. Figuratively. That they think, number one, they think that maybe they can harm Allah. They think that they can harm Allah. They think that they can oppose Allah. But Allah is going to harm them. And that's why they're being called the enemies of Allah. The other explanation that he gives is that maybe it also refers to the idea that they are actually opposing the believers, the prophets of Allah and the believers. As we know that they, قَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ, they also killed prophets of the past, the prophet Zakariya, the prophet Yahya. So by opposing those who believe in Allah, represent the message of Allah, obey Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling that to be the opposition of God himself, because they are the friends of God. As we see in the Quran, Allah says, "Innama jaza'u alladhina yuharibuna Allah wa rasulahu." Those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger, even though they were waging war against the Messenger, but Allah said, you wage war against the Messenger, you wage war against Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ In Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33, Ayah number 57, Allah says, those who try to harm God and His Messenger, they can't harm God, but they try to harm the Messenger. So Allah said, if you try to harm the Messenger of Allah, now I declare you to be my enemy. And we also have a similar hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic narration in Bukhari, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi that whosoever declares war against and tries to harm and declares to be the opposition, the enemy of my friends, of those who are loyal to me, Allah says, then I declare war against them. So that's the explanation of how they are being called the enemies of God. And again, the obvious lesson and the obvious moral there is, that's why we always strive to be obedient to Allah, and we aspire to be, we pray to Allah to make us one of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because then Allah is on our side. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst His friends and His allies. So it says, whosoever declares to be the enemy of God and the enemy of the angels of God, as they said, and the messengers of God, which we've talked about as well. And then it specifically mentions wa Jibril wa Mikal, and Gabriel and Michael. It already mentioned angels. Why is it mentioning them specifically? They are angels, so they're included in the mention of angels. But why is it mentioning them specifically? This is a stylistic thing in the Arabic language, rhetorical device in the Arabic language, which is called ذِكْرُ الْخَاصِ بَعْدِ الْعَامِ لِلْتَشْرِيفِ وَالْتَنْوِيهِ. That after you have generally referred, so if I'm speaking about all the students, I say all the students in the class and Ahmed specifically. So I referred to all the students in the class, but then I specifically mentioned Amin, Ahmed. I specifically mentioned a student. That is to distinguish that student. That is to point that student out. And that is done usually for the purpose. It depends on the context, really. But here it's being done to give honor, to give distinction, to grant respect and position and status and prestige and esteem and honor, all the things that we had talked about in the beginning. So that's why it mentions them specifically. And then it says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. That if they want to be the enemies of God, the angels of God, the messengers of God, the angels of Jibril and Mikael, alayhim as-salam, then know that indeed Allah is declaring war against. Allah is the enemy of those who disbelieve. Allah is the enemy of those who disbelieve. Now, there's another rhetorical device here. Normally, in a simple way, we would say that whosoever says that they are the enemies of God, the angels, the messengers, Gabriel, Michael, then Allah is their enemy. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لَهُمْ. But Allah did not say that. Allah said, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Allah is the enemy of the disbelievers. And it mentions disbelievers specifically because it's explicitly. So this is called إِقَامَةُ الظَّاهِرِ مَقَامَ الْمُذْمَرِ. إِقَامَةُ الظَّاهِرِ مَقَامَ الْمُذْمَرِ. This is a rhetorical device in the Arabic language, and which means that you explicitly mention something where a pronoun would have sufficed. You specifically mention some language, a noun, some verbiage, where a pronoun would have sufficed. And this is so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can explicitly detail to us and outline for us that لِبَيَانِ صِفَةِ الْكُفْرِ وَهُوَ عَدَاوَتُهُمْ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. That whoever does this, whoever says these kinds of things, whoever has these kinds of beliefs, they are disbelievers. And the disbelievers are the enemies of Allah. So instead of saying whoever does these things, they are the enemy of God, it says whoever does these things are disbelievers and they are the enemies of Allah. So it specifically highlights the fact that this is kufr, this is disbelief, this is very disrespectful, disobedient, ungrateful, and disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah has revealed. And so those are the verses. I wanted to share some, you know, closing reflections from this particular, from these two verses that we've talked about today. Number one is they have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in Surah Al-Baqarah has repeatedly mentioned different arguments, excuses that they make for not believing in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It mentioned that they said, well, you know, we're committed to the Torah, so we can't believe in what you've brought. But Allah says, the Torah and the Quran aligns. All right? They said that we are the chosen people of God, so we're going to be forgiven and we're going to attain salvation in the hereafter, so we don't need to believe in you. Then Allah responded to that. Then over here, they're saying, well, we would have listened to you, but Gabriel comes to you and we don't like him, so we can't believe in this message that you are presenting. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refutes and completely annihilates and destroys whatever argument they are making and shows that how what they are doing is complete, absolute disbelief, and that will bring them the wrath and the anger and the punishment of Allah. May Allah protect us all. And it talked about how the Quran, مُصَدِّقَ لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ, it contains these verses contain a very specific description of the Quran. It said that it confirms what was revealed before it, وَهُدًا, and it is guidance. And that's very important to remember, that the primary objective of the Quran is to guide humanity. It is guidance from Allah. And that the Quran is such a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if we believe in it, we accept it, we try to live it and understand it, that this will bring us so much blessing within our lives. That the Quran contains the message of the oneness of Allah, the worship of Allah. It tells us to have the best and most dignified of character. It tells us to embody good qualities, to be good individually, to be good collectively, as a community and as a society. That is the message of the Quran, and that is the benefit and the blessing that lies within the Quran. And lastly, I wanted to also mention as a closing reflection that because they spoke so ill of Jibreel alayhi salam, there are so many places within the Quran and the authentic narration of the Prophet where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about who Jibreel alayhi salam is and what his status is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned previously in Surah Al-Shu'ara, which is Surah number 26, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in verse number 192, 193, and 194, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that this Quran is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينَ, the very dignified angel of God, Jibreel alayhi salam, came down with it, عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنْدِرِينَ, upon your heart so that you can then deliver the warning to the people. Allah subhanahu the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, it's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that God himself proclaims, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ بَارَزْنِي بِالْحَرْبِ, whoever opposes one of my friends, then that person has declared war and has called me out for battle. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded so severely to this, you know, disrespectful reference to the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Not only that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Quran, because the Quran is referred to here as guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, it is guidance. In another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءٌ, that say to them that the Quran is guidance and the Quran is cure. In another place in the Quran, Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, ayah number 82, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that this Quran that we are sending down, this is a cure for humanity and a mercy for the believers. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا, but people who are oppressive and evil, they only go further and further away from Allah, in further and further into ruin, the more they interact with the Quran, because they're not coming to the Quran open and with a clear heart and with an open mind. And in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hajj, Surah number 22, verse number 75, Allahu yastafi min al-malaikati rusulan wa min an-nas. God chooses whomsoever He wills from amongst the angels to bring His revelation, and He chooses whomsoever He wills from amongst the people to receive the revelation. If their objection was, why does Gabriel bring revelation? Well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses whomsoever He wills. And if their objection was, why does Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receive revelation? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, He chooses whomsoever He wills. That is not your, you have no say in the matter. You have no choice in the issue. And you objecting to that is very disrespectful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah calls it disbelief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten our hearts with the Quran. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. With that, inshaAllah, we'll conclude today's tafsir class. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahum bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. So, inshaAllah, we have maybe about a few more minutes, about 10 minutes, inshaAllah. Not 8-9 minutes, I guess, until the broadcast ends. So, inshallah, if anyone has any questions, then I will try to answer them. I can't promise I will be able to answer the questions, but I can try. Also, again, wanted to specifically, reach out to and specifically inquire about the community, our brothers and sisters in the South Lake ICS, Islamic Center of South Lake, the South Lake Masjid. I hope and pray, inshallah, everyone is doing well. All the brothers and sisters are safe. All the families are well. Again, our predicament here kind of continues, where we're not able to gather together physically to have this weekly study of the Quran as we were accustomed to doing. But nonetheless, alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah, we have some way of continuing this study and this lesson. So we're very grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to continue in some way or another. But we pray that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates this difficulty from us, and that we are able to gather again in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the masjid, in the masajid, and be able to pray there together and then study the Quran there together as a community as well, inshallah. So if anyone has any questions, inshallah, you can put them in the comments, drop them in the chat, and inshallah, again, like I said, I can attempt to try to answer. If there are, okay, there is a question here. Just check here real quick. Okay, there's a question here that says that so someone's asking that the idea that the mu'min is pure, right? Because there seems to be some reference to this, that the mu'min is pure. What does that mean? That more so means in terms of faith, in terms of iman, the purity of faith. وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Right? The Quran basically talks about this. It's actually here in Surah Al-Baqarah. And we talked about it in the tafsir of that verse, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not mix good with bad, truth with falsehood. And another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says not to conflate your faith with dhulm, with wrongdoing. And so the Sahaba were very concerned about this, because they said if dhulm means sin or wrongdoing, then we all commit sin and wrongdoing. So what exactly does this mean? None of us would be safe from that. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that that is a reference to the verse in the Quran, inna shirka la dhulman azim, that refers to shirk. So it's about the purity of faith, ikhlas, sincerity, proper belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what's meant by that purity. Someone's asking that, Saif is asking, the two books for the Asbabun Nuzul, the circumstances of revelation, what are their names and which prince would you recommend? Very good question. So they are literally called Asbabun Nuzul. That's literally what the name of it is, because it's very straightforward. It's about the circumstances of revelation. And the authors are Imam al-Suyuti and Imam al-Wahidi. As far as what prince I would recommend, I don't have it off the top of my head what prints are available and therefore which I would recommend. I do know that the that the book of Imam al-Suyuti, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was printed by one of the publishers that's based in Pakistan, the Bushra, Maktabatul Bushra, the Bushra Publishing House. That was very well done. It was very well edited, corrected, and typos were caught, and it had some very good references and footnotes. Basically, in the footnotes, you had all the references for all the narrations that are mentioned. That was one. That's one. That's the copy I have that I'm very fond of. But what other prints and editions are out there? I don't have that off the top of my head. MashaAllah, someone's mentioning that they are joining the session from London. Ahlan wa sahlan, marhaban. So again, I'll mention it here for everyone's benefit that if, you know, someone is just tuning in now, all the previous sessions can be heard on the Qalam podcast. And, you know, so you can go to the Qalam website, you can go to iTunes, you can go in the App Store, there's a Qalam app as well, and you go to the playlist for Tafsir al-Quran, and or you can go to Spotify, we have the list, the playlist on there as well, and so you can, inshallah, listen to the Qalam podcast there, or you can go to the website and listen to it there as well. You can also go back on the Facebook page, my Facebook page, and you can find all the previous sessions there in video form as well. So inshallah, we hope that you're able to keep up with us, because we started off with Surah A'udhu Billah, Bismillah, Surah Al-Fatiha, and then Surah Al-Baqarah. And the objective is that we hope to continue going forward. Wallahu ta'ala alam bis-sawab. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to do so. Ameen. So someone's asking the question, what is the job of Angel Jibreel alayhi salam now that revelation has ended? Those were just the tasks that we were told about. But otherwise, like on the night of Qadr, all the angels come down to the earth. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us Jibreel alayhi salam is leading them. But there are so many other things. There's a hadith that tells us that every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares his love for someone, he says, oh Jibreel, I love so-and-so, you love him too. And then Jibreel alayhi salam goes, announces that to the inhabitants of the heavens, then they come down to the earth. So there's so many different narrations like this. But those were just the tasks that we were informed of and that were pertinent and relevant to our study of the verse today. SubhanAllah, very good question. Someone is asking the question that on the topic of not being in the masajid, any advice for those of us experiencing burnout from adjusting to this new norm and seeking spiritual connections online and the subsequent iman dips? Very, very good. A couple of things I will mention. Number one, consistency. Consistency is very, very important. There's a lot out there, and the burnout is very real. But instead of just kind of running around and just sometimes, you know, whatever pops up on your feed and you just kind of like log on and then you log off, and sometimes you're into it, sometimes you're not into it. And so you have a couple of days where you do a lot and a couple of days where you do nothing. Consistency. And then treat it as a very serious lesson. So for instance, if this tafsir class, then you open up a mushaf, you get a translation of the Quran, you have a notebook, and you take it as a very serious class. Consistency is going to be very, very important, number one. Number two, in terms of even this online learning, it is still possible to do it more communally. I understand that for these tafsir sessions, we're kind of broadcasting them, so a lot of the communication is one way. But, you know, even for these, maybe you can simultaneously have a couple of friends who are, you know, logging on together, like, and y'all are connected through Zoom or something like that, where you're kind of doing it together at the same time. And then afterwards, you have like a little discussion about what you just covered. Not only that, but there are some of our other classes here at Qalam where they take place in a Zoom classroom, specifically with the objective of facilitating more discussion, more Q&A amongst the, you know, instructors and the students amongst one another. So that also helps. If you go to the Qalam website, qalam.institute, online learning, there are a number of classes, so many classes for kids, for teens, for sisters exclusively, for adults, where there's a lot of learning that's going on in a classroom kind of setting. And we're just joined here by Spider-Man, mashallah. So there you can also develop more of a classroom setting, and that might also help the burnout. Someone said, I need to learn Arabic and teach it also to my daughter. We both want to do HIVS. How can we do it? Please need your advice and help. Once again, there are a lot of classes and a lot of programs. The Instagram's going to cut off. Go to the Qalam website. If you're serious about learning Arabic, our admissions are open for the seminary, the first year of the seminary, Arabic. Yes, it's a pretty demanding program, but if you do that, you will thoroughly know Quranic Arabic and then be in a position to teach it to your family and your children as well. Go to qalamseminary.com and to apply. With that, inshallah, we're going to go ahead and conclude. Spider-Man's here to get me, so I got to get going. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.